Okay, so let's imagine there's a theme tune at the beginning.
Well, this is just the intro.
Report.
This is just the intro, so it'll just be the bomb. Hello, Internet. I'm Fireball.
And I'm the Orbiter.
And welcome to our brand new podcast. And this is kind of being put together sort of at the last minute, kind of. But
we have no idea what we're doing. They're not supposed to know that, are they?
Yeah, this is meant to be more high quality and more sort of concise and to the point.
Which is why we're talking in a real rush.
Yeah. So
what's it called?
It's called the Bollocks Report, and we're reporting on our bollocks. Mine are in good condition.
No, we're not.
I'm joking. Basically, we're doing this sort of earlier, like a couple of days before this goes out. Not a couple of days. We're doing this on the Sunday. And we're just discussing news of the week, as well as we've got a film that we're reviewing. And just seeing how it goes. It's going to be sort of around half an hour each week, and we'll see what happens.
Probably.
If you've seen the New Year's announcement, you will have heard what each segment is, but we'll probably
It's only once a fortnight,
bit.
By the way.
Yeah.
Because we have Breaking Bollocks on the other Thursday, so...
And if you've seen the New Year's announcement, you'll know what each section is roughly about, but we'll briefly explain it at the start.
So, with that under our belt... Without further ado,
in a rather awkward
talking over each other kind of styly, let's move on to the next section.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that jingle. We're now doing the news rundown, which is basically us just listing the news and having a bit of fun with it because the world's kind of going.
They're gonna know this. Just do the fucking news rundown.
Okay, so, from Sky, cannabis is twice as strong as a decade ago.
Where do I get some?
No wonder the fucking druggies in my school are.
Putin's written a New Year love letter to Donald Trump calling for wide-ranging dialogue.
Yeah.
From The Independent, that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wide-ranging dialogue's a bit euphemistic.
Is it?
UK and France to tackle people smuggling in the channel. This is a bit of old news from The Guardian, but apparently there's a migrant crisis, so...
Apparently.
Yeah. I mean, it's been going on apparently for 6 years, but it's now a new thing.
There's homeless people dying in the streets, but there's a crisis because a few people are managing to struggle their way across the busiest shipping lane in the world.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like they're...
Fleeing a war zone. Yeah. You know, whatever. Moving on to the next bit.
Sajid Javid needs to get a grip on the migrant crisis after break.
That's the
Christmas break.
Yeah. Sajid Javid hasn't seemed to really done anything as Home Secretary, so I can't really hate him as much as the other Tories, because he's just...
I don't know. He's collecting the military together for once.
Is he?
Yeah, he's bringing in warships to patrol the channel.
Okay, but he's not quite as horrific as other ones, I don't think. Like, given the past Home Secretaries. Amber Rudd wasn't too bad, she just got blamed for Theresa May, but you know, whatever. Anyway, government workers afraid and angry in US government shutdown. Yeah, usually around December time, the government shuts down in America.
Afraid and angry.
That's because they couldn't agree on something, and Trump was being really stubborn and saying, well, we need to build a wall. And then just like, we need to build a wall repeatedly. And you're just like, well, actually, hang on, let's just try this other thing. And a government shutdown would be really bad right now.
5G phones.
Yeah, they're coming in 2019. That's from CNET.
Meow.
Why? What?
Does that mean we've all got to buy new phones now?
Probably.
Okay.
Does that mean we'll get, like, 5G phone signal as well?
One would presume. Yeah. But, I mean, at times my phone signal's already faster than the... max broadband connection at home, so
they're kind of going a bit faster than our local area can really probably keep up with.
Ooh.
There are clashes over alleged election rigging in Bangladesh. 4 have been killed.
Where's Bangladesh?
Bangladesh.
Nah.
It's next to India. Mm-hmm. That's from Reuters. Yeah, so I'm doing I've compiled this list. I'm doing some bits from around the world as well as here.
A man's traveling the Atlantic in a barrel.
Yeah. I just thought that was a fun piece because that's just funny, just like bobbing along on the beautiful briny ocean.
Google wins dismissal of a facial recognition lawsuit.
You've missed the other one.
Amidst Trump pulling out of Syria, Assad has decisively won.
We'll come back to this later in a more serious piece, but yeah, he's basically just Putin's bitch now, Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Google wins dismissal of facial recognition lawsuit. That's from The Verge.
What's that about?
I'm assuming somebody was like, well, you can't use this technology, and then they won that.
All right, yeah. Juncker calls on the UK to get your act together.
That's surprised. That's like, no shit, they kind of do need to. That's from the Financial Times.
But yeah, they do.
Okay, so we've got half of Tory members back no deal Brexit from the Press Association. Then right after that, we've got UK universities could go bust in no deal Brexit, Indy 100.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun. You know, I can't legitimately see anyone supporting the Tory party that I like now.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people you don't like.
Yeah, but like there's some people that I do hang around with a fair amount, I guess, that are still supporting the Tory party and I still tolerate them, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, but no offence, but up here's kind of tame in terms of right-wingness.
Yeah.
Down south, there's some fucking nutters who just... You just despair when you hear them talking.
Which we'll get to later in this bit. Afghans blast Trump's praise of the Soviet invasion. That's a bizarre...
Trump's praise of the Soviet invasion?
Yeah, during the Cold War...
Oh, right.
The Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan.
Yeah, there was a film about something to do with that. It was all America's fault anyway, wasn't it? Something to do with the oil. Was it called The Kingdom?
Well, various revolutions and people assassinating things happened there. US is no saint, to be honest, in the Cold War.
Warship deployed to intercept migrant boats in the Channel? Yeah, because if you're a soldier and you're trained to defend your country, you really want to be patrolling the English Channel to stop people coming across in rubber dinghies, don't you?
Yeah, you know...
That are fleeing war.
Children, you know, war zones that you should probably be in. But, you know, whatever. IS missile seriously hurts British forces. Don't really know what to say about that. That's just a thing.
Except that Trump said that he'd won against them, didn't he? Well, actually, yeah. No, I didn't get that because he said in one breath he said that they'd won, so he's pulling out. And then the other thing was he's saying he wants the Turks to take care of him.
It's called not being fucking consistent.
Oh, right, okay. Speaking of which, he's preparing to use emergency powers to build the border wall.
Which is always fun. Like, I always think with Trump, there must be some sort of institution against that, but then he still manages to get past everyone with it. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church gains independence. That might be an interesting development in
From
the
who?
Whole... I don't know. The rest of the Orthodox Church? Because I'm assuming the rest of the Orthodox Church would be based in Russia. Because
yeah, there is. I've heard of Russian Orthodox. I've not heard of Ukrainian Orthodox. Maybe.
Well,
that's...
it's general Eastern Orthodoxy. So a lot of Eastern Europe is quite Orthodox.
There's Greek Orthodox as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's various different sects. Christianity.
What does Orthodox mean?
I don't know.
We don't actually care, do we?
They're not Catholics or Protestants. There's something else I don't remember.
China's facing a potential economic slowdown.
Okay, I mean, it's... I guess that's kind of good, because they are kind of getting near taking over the US if they keep going the way they are.
The thing is, if you put the word potential into any news article, you can basically say anything you like.
Yeah. MPs to challenge Burkow over 18th century rules against proxy voting. That's from the Indy 100. Now, this was over... This is proxy voting in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
This was over, I think, pregnancy. And a bunch of MPs were like, that's stupid and it's outdated.
Right.
Not sure why they need to challenge him and not just get rid of him already, but yeah, whatever.
I'm going to link two of these together. We've got here that France's yellow vest protesters have returned to the streets. Obviously, that's been going on quite a while in France, but there's a 13-year-old girl arrested in London yellow vest pro-Brexit protest. So there's sort of copycat kind of yellow vest is becoming a term, isn't it, for basically violent demonstrations. But these are pro-Brexit ones.
Yeah.
And she's been arrested on suspicion of assaulting a police officer.
PM warns jobs at risk if MPs reject Brexit deal, which they're definitely going to do. So hope you enjoy unemployment.
Jobs at risk? We're going to be lucky if we've got enough people to fill the jobs we've got.
Well,
I mean, like half of the trains in Scotland have been cancelled over the last couple of weeks because they're understaffed.
I mean, yeah, it's weird because there's...
There's massive waiting lists on the NHS.
I'm guessing more unskilled labour because a lot of companies are moving in the case of a no-deal Brexit, because that's terrible for most businesses.
Okay.
A three-hour Ryanair flight from London takes nearly a day.
3 hours from London to where?
I'm not sure, but... Somewhere that it takes 3 hours to travel to.
Probably maybe Tunisia.
Maybe.
But
that's always fun. Ryanair's kind of a bit of a mess.
Takes nearly a day.
Yeah.
Presumably that includes getting to the airport, getting through security. It's not actually just sitting on the plane.
I think it might have been.
All right, okay.
May claims...
There's a lot of we think it might have beens in this.
Yeah, well, I've compiled this, but I don't actually have, like, the subtext of the article. I've mainly got headlines.
Okay.
May claims long-term plan to relieve pressure on the NHS.
Yeah, May claims a lot of things.
Like, I don't think we can believe a single thing she says anymore, but yeah, whatever. That's from the Associated Press.
But then she is a Tory.
Yeah. U-turns and all that.
Bosnia's new president, Milorad Dodik, threatens a fragile peace accord. Threatens a fragile peace accord. Oh, I thought he was threatening someone with a fragile peace accord.
Yeah.
Or he's threatening the fragile peace accord that's already there, presumably.
That's a Balkan country, Bosnia, so yeah. I think there's still like a bunch of undug up landmines there. Because some people were killed whilst playing Pokemon Go. In landmine fields.
I kind of find that quite amusing.
That's cruel, but it's true. Yeah. That's on the Atlantic.
Pikachu! Sorry. Right.
The cats of all.
May promises vote on her deal will go ahead. Yeah, eventually. Like the day before, like the 28th of March or something.
It has to at some point, but like legally it has to.
No, I thought January was the latest date they'd agreed on in Parliament.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
But anyway, pretty damn late. Soldier to quit forces after his image was used in an army recruitment snowflake poster.
Yeah, the army put out a poster saying, like, snowflakes, we need your compassion or something. Which is going to recruit lots of people.
I think they're trying the softly approach, aren't they now? Trying to get recruits, because I did see something about part of the training now being recognizing their own weaknesses
and
breaking down their own weaknesses as part of the training, so they know what to work on. Anyway,
I mean, it would make sense if they're going into war zones where most
can we afford to be recruiting people. Although they wouldn't care about that, would they? If they're building up their stockpiling weapons and building up their forces, and they're just going to throw money at the military.
Hungarians march against government autocracy. That's from the Washington Post. Have you heard about Viktor Orban?
No.
Well, basically, and this is not really an understatement, Hungary's gone a bit the way of Russia, But with a bit of a Nazi twist as well.
Oh, yeah.
All the opposition turned up dead in the election, which is very suspicious.
All the opposition turned up dead.
Ended up dead.
Okay.
Which is a very Russia thing. But from what I understand, Viktor Orban's practically a white supremacist.
Okay. Oh, well. The whole world's headed that way. So.
And they're still in the EU. Poland's going a similar way as well. So it's kind of worrying. They're sort of challenging that.
Hyperloop could cut Edinburgh to London journey down to half an hour.
I didn't know it was coming over to the UK that soon.
I'm pretty damn sure. Well, the only thing I'd be going down to London for would be to go see a show, but yeah. So far, I mean, they're sending.
I guess it's nice that there's quite a quick way to do that.
They're sending UK police over to Northern Ireland to try and keep the peace, aren't they? So let's see how long the peace lasts in London as well.
Fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, that segment ran over massively. So
yeah. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, so this is basically, we'll watch film or TV and we do a little quick clip that we'll let you hear in a second, and then we'll have a discussion on it, sort of removed from it. This week, it is The Shawshank Redemption.
And here was our initial reaction, straight after watching the film.
This is our first initial reaction of kind of reviewing a film. This is definitely going under the dog's bollocks category.
We just finished watching The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh my god. I can see why that's in a lot of people's top films. Masterpiece, I would say. It was so tense throughout that whole thing, because I vaguely knew from pop culture that there had to be escape in there somewhere, but I was questioning whether that was just reference, sort of Chinese whispers. And I genuinely had no clue what was going to happen. And just like every few minutes, my heart skipped a beat. It was amazing.
Yeah, obviously I've seen that probably a few times, but I haven't actually seen it for many years. And watching it again, it's always with a film like that, especially, it's always, I think, amazing the first time you watch something like that, because you can never recapture that where you don't know what's going to happen. And there must have been, it's a long time ago for me, but there must have been so many times that you are on the edge of your seat thinking what's happening next, and
just sort of dipping in and out of hope and despair.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time. You can't... I think I remember from when I first watched it that the thought of spending that much time in prison, you know, because I think the idea of prison is a nightmare scenario to most people.
Yeah.
I've spent one night in a cell, and that's not nice. Actually, no, I spent not two nights, maybe a few hours in total.
Yeah.
And it's not just for that small amount of time. You're looking at a brick wall and you're thinking about what's happened to you. Whether it's your fault or not, you're thinking, shit, I'm in a cell here. And it's just...
Yeah.
I think everybody to a certain extent goes through that feeling of, even if you're technically guilty of a crime, everyone goes through that. Yeah, I know I've done something wrong, but at the end of the day, nobody is really to blame, because everybody is a product of their life until the point where they do something.
Really makes you ask a lot of questions about how we think about are wrongdoers in society, as they're so-called.
I think there is a metaphor there as well. The whole point about being institutionalized behind the walls of a prison is, to me, similar in a way to the mental institutionalization of being in society.
Yeah. But anyway, before we record a whole podcast on our initial reactions, just start.
Marks out of 10.
10. No question.
Agreed.
That was pretty conclusive.
One thing, we can talk a little bit about the prison system, I guess, from this. One thing I found interesting was talking about the time scale, and I hadn't really thought about this before, and it's, I guess, sort of similar to the sort of feeling that soldiers get when they have to come home, is that the world's completely changed.
Yeah.
One of the guys that gets let out after 50 years, who, spoiler alert, ends up killing himself, had only seen a car once, but when he got out, they were everywhere.
I'm just looking around me now, and I'm seeing equipment that didn't exist when I moved up here, when you were born. Like, I mean, it's less than a life sentence, and, you know, we've got two laptops here.
Yeah.
I don't know if the first laptops were out by then, but certainly people wouldn't have had them available to them. They might have been for really expensive.
And nothing that looked anything like this.
No. No, I don't think they were, because we didn't really have... we were still on CRT monitors.
Yeah, I mean, having a computer that's...
A HD camera. Yeah, the flat TV over there. Is...
And not having, like, a massive...
LED lights.
Yeah, that's something that seems so simple.
A laser printer. They may have had laser printers, but they would have probably been like the size of a room and
they would have been like
a magazine publishing office or something.
Yeah.
A tabletop audio interface. It's like that. We've got a fucking recording studio here that back then you know, just sat on the table here.
Yeah.
Back then would have cost a fortune to hire per day.
But it makes you think, even for, like, the worst crimes, is a life sentence too much?
Well, it's about the question of justice, but there was an item of news that I saw earlier this week that made me think quite seriously about how we see justice and crime and punishment and rehabilitation. There was a girl whose brother had been abusing her most of her life, from when she was the age of 3 and he was 6. He'd been abusing her up until she was 12, and she was at that age able to see that there was something wrong with it and say no, you know, to put a stop to it.
Right.
Now, his family have cut all ties with him, and he's being, you know, taken to court and put through trial and stuff like that. You know, by the end of what was going on, obviously he was 15, and you would expect that he would have knowledge of what was going on there. But you got to think to yourself, if he starts doing something like that at the age of 6, a lot of people would see that as kind of benign experimentation, depending on how abusive it was in terms of physical kind of... But at the age of 6, you certainly wouldn't... You would be more expecting to think, well, why... Why is
they
he
have
in
no
this position?
Knowledge of what, that.
Yeah, what is
and
it?
You'd more think, well,
what's happened to him to make him do that to her at that age?
Like,
and if that then, you know, obviously he's done that at age 6 and carries on doing it, and it becomes the norm, if you like. At what point do you draw a line and say, right, he's now a criminal? He's now aware enough that he can be prosecuted for that. And his family can basically abandon him for it, you know.
Yeah, it's so like, there is a lot to be said.
There's not a line to me, there isn't a line that you can draw that says this person's a criminal, this person's not, because there are situations that are, you have to take the entire situation into account.
And
there are mental issues there, obviously.
But then, so often, and this is presented in the film, and it's still a problem today, I know that's set quite a while back, people are falsely put in prison.
Yeah. Definitely. And even though he, in that film, was in that situation, it's almost like he still held himself responsible for what happened, because it was kind of his fault that she was cheating on him, in a way. He blamed himself for not giving her the attention and the love that would have kept their marriage alive. He blamed himself that she went to the arms of another man.
Mm.
And that was what he was taking the punishment for, if you like.
Mm. But then that comes back to the idea of being institutionalized.
Yeah.
That once you've been there long enough, like, that's all you know.
And that's...
And
to a lot of people, that's not that can
a way
be...
that we should treat any human being, I don't think.
But you, in any case of institutionalization, you can see that as a reflection of society, you know. At what point does society become something that you are prepared to say, this is not acceptable?
And whilst, like, in a case of a murderer, yeah, if they have actually done the murder, then those people don't get to live out their lives that they've killed. But an eye for an eye never really works. And I know you're not in that enacting the death penalty, but once you get to the point where they're in there for that long, it may as well be a death penalty.
And it's always going to be a dodgy situation when the prison system is a profit-making organisation, isn't it? Which
In America
it is, yeah. Which obviously is where that was set. So yeah, 10 out of 10, definitely. I would give it 11 if I could, but, you know, that's just silly.
Yeah, I would very much recommend watching it. Sorry if we've spoiled anything. Okay, so this is where we'll just basically have a go at someone who's being a twat. This time, Piers Morgan, who'll probably be a weekly occurrence.
And you're also a twat.
Yep. Go tweet him if you want. We're going to do a quick bit on Chris Grayling as well. Anyway, the Piers Morgan thing, and I fucking love the Greg social media team, because basically they made a vegan sausage roll. Piers Morgan and a bunch of other people, I'll get to the other replies, responded with, "Nobody was waiting for a vegan bloody sausage, you PC rabbit clowns," to which Greg's responded, "Oh, hello, Piers, we've been expecting you." I don't understand how, like, just having food for vegans and actually... I mean, I'm assuming some people were waiting for it because people have actually asked and I've seen that in their replies.
Having said that, the French have banned vegans and vegetarians from calling them sausages if they don't have meat in them.
Yeah, but the French are the French.
Yeah, that's true. They wear yellow vests.
I just think Piers Morgan likes to just...
be a dick.
Yeah, pretty much. Should I show you some of the other replies? "The world's fucked. It's a vegan sausage roll, Damon."
They're just expanding their customer base, that's all.
Yeah, but basically the social media team's just quite sassy, which now I quite like that. I'm not sure if this is entirely because of this. They seem to be living off of sausage roll-based controversies.
Yeah, but let's face it, Greggs are basically known for sausage rolls and pies.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't give enough of a shit about
they did that.
Vegans or Greggs, to be honest. Kind of. But Piers Morgan is a twat. He's just getting publicity out of it. And so are they. Good on him.
Yeah. According to YouGov, they are the UK's most liked dining brand now.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit worrying, that, isn't it?
But they did that whole sausage roll nativity scene thing, which I found hilarious. Because a bunch of religious twats got pissed off at that as well.
Well, it's a good way to get publicity now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who can you offend?
Well, it's funny because, like, Piers Morgan's the type of person that would call out people for getting offended at everything, but like, he seemingly just got offended by a vegan sausage roll.
Yeah. I can't see how it's PC. I don't understand that.
Because he's a twat. Yeah. Chris Grayling. Now, with this whole migrant crisis thing, and I put that in inverted commas because...
Yeah, I'm calling him a twat because of the interview I saw with him where he was being asked how many ferry companies had put in a tender for the contracts for the extra ferries they're putting on to deal with Brexit. And he would not answer the question.
This wasn't for the migrant crisis. This was for ferries as just a transport thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, they're putting on. They put out three contracts to put on extra ferries.
Wilford Cargo as well.
To put on extra ferries post Brexit.
One of them.
Seaborne Freight.
Yeah, they don't have any ferries. Which. And they were just started around a week ago or something.
Yeah, by the brother of somebody to do with JCB, which is one of the big funders of the Tory party. There's some shares thing going on. But yeah, anyway, she was pressing him on how many companies had actually applied for these contracts because this Seaborne's a startup business, basically. And Chris Grayling's saying, well, we should be praised for helping startup businesses. It's like, what, for something this important?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, he just would not answer when she said... All he would say
but
when she asked how many...
For you.
Yeah, but she just kept asking him how many, and all he would say was a number. A number of companies. So it's like, what? And you see, in your maths exams at school, did you just like write some on the paper when it was asking all the questions?
It's a
few.
Somewhere between infinity and minus affinity.
Yeah. If you can't answer the question in public, then you've got something to hide.
Twat.
Next.
Okay, so
what we picked for perspective treatment this week?
We'll do the migrant crisis because a lot of things seem to be covering that, and it's bollocks.
In the UK, then.
If we have time, we might do Syria, but that's to be honest.
Can I just, before I forget, make one of my main points about this is that it has fuck all to do with Brexit, because they're trying to conflate it and trying to build up this kind of nationalistic fervour ahead of this no-deal Brexit that's potentially coming along, and it's got fuck all to do with migrants because they're not from Europe. If they were from Europe, they could just get a boat across, or they could get the train across, show their passport, and they'd be let in, because freedom of movement is still a thing at the moment. So if they're crossing the channel in a dinghy, they're from outside Europe, so it's...
I did see a story on that where they'd been to, I think it was in Cali, the migrant camp there, where someone was saying they'd paid to go on this ferry over with these people that came around every couple of days or so, saying that you can pay to go to the UK. I think it was an Iranian immigrant.
Yeah. See, there seem to be a lot of papers here that are saying the same sort of thing, that it's that there's nothing to it. It's not a crisis. They're trying to make a big thing out of nothing. But they don't seem to be saying much about the warships that have been sent to the channel. But they're all basically playing, not playing it down, but they're playing it more like it is, saying it's not a crisis. It's that, look, illegal entries to the EU are at the lowest level in 5 years. It's a tale of British hypocrisy. Crisis is always in inverted commas. It's no comparison to the 2015 influx. We're not at risk from a migrant crisis. It's all saying there's no crisis, but they're not. What's Israel Today saying about Europe's migrant crisis and the Jews? That's Europe, though, isn't it? Europe's migrant crisis.
Yeah. Well, it's migrants going to Europe, not migrants actually from European countries, necessarily.
Yeah. 12 migrants detained at Kent Beach. Everything I read from the Express just makes me want to... don't know.
Well, they're not necessarily saying that's a good thing in the headline.
No, but it just... whenever I read a headline from the Express, it just seems to be completely...
Yeah. I get the feeling that it is more along the lines of... tabloids like the Mail. But Time is saying just how dangerous Europe's migrant crisis remains.
Yeah.
But still, because a lot of these end up sinking when they go over the channel because they're not very well.
What is the crisis that they're talking about? Is it the numbers or is it the fact that people are dying? Because this warship deployment thing, if it's...
that's not going to solve it.
If it's a case of rescuing people, then that's one thing. But if it's a case of just stopping them from getting across, that's a completely different...
But you don't need a warship to rescue people.
That's true. Like, yeah, what the fuck is that about?
But, I mean, this might be spin here from the Express saying 17 Iranians tried to steal a boat near Calais.
Mm.
But are they trying to stop people stealing boats? I mean, I don't know how much that is actually true if it's from the Express. But, yeah.
Well, we have the least trusted press in Europe, so... what's this about a taxi service crossing the channel? Oh, it's the Express.
Yeah. A lot of the ones that are actually sort of seeing it as an actual crisis and rather just looking at like the actual numbers.
They're in like... everything you read, it's in like single and double figures, and then you... at the same time, you're seeing... hundreds of people and thousands of people suffering from other things that are more important, and they're not... the government doesn't seem bothered, you know?
But also just not really paying attention to the sheer...
what about the homeless crisis?
Disconnect between different countries in Europe taking on this. Not necessarily even in Europe. In Uganda, I think there's been 1 million Syrian refugees. Turkey up to 2 million.
Yeah.
In Germany, getting around 14,000 every day. And yet we still... I mean, I know there's been some stuff kicking off in Germany, but we still have that idea, well, we're an island, and even if there's just double figures coming through, then that must be a massive problem for some reason.
It's propaganda.
It is, pretty much, and...
right-wing propaganda.
Yeah. And it's no wonder that we've gotten to the stage where Brexit's seeming like a good idea to a lot of people, if this is what they're reading every day.
I'm not seeing it as a good idea, but I am becoming more and more resigned to the fact that it's probably going to happen, and... yeah, I don't know, the world just seems to be fucked.
But we mustn't lose hope, I don't think.
No.
Because, in general, things are getting better, even if we sometimes take a step back. The world is gradually progressing to a better place.
The world, possibly.
Because nationalism in the early 20th century would have been seen as just expected.
It's more difficult to kind of draw comparisons because everything's so publicly known now. you know, it's not all filtered through news channels. There's wide communication globally.
But then there's also wide misinformation there.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suppose that kind of feeling of there being no hope because the world's fucked is coming from reading news articles put out there by propaganda machines. So that's what they want you to feel like. Yeah, good point.
But they'll keep going as long as we keep reading them.
It's kind of freedom of the press and freedom of speech.
Yeah, which I'm all for, but this is something else.
Yeah.
One here that I'm interested to see what they're actually talking about. Channel Migrant Crisis, here's what they're not telling you.
This is the Mirror.
Now, I'm not sure where they particularly stand. Yeah, well, I'm assuming that they're...
Yeah, I don't know what the politics of the Mirror are, but...
Right.
It does seem to be fairly...
So, about...
reasonable compared to the Express.
If you round it up, about 7 people a day are coming into the UK. That's really not a lot. That won't have a massive impact on you. But it's practically unnoticeable compared to normal migration.
In 2015, there was an average of 82 a day.
And that's not even that much compared to what the actual crisis is and the actual scale of the thing.
Having said that, though, I have to point out that the framing and the language used are possibly important. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers here, but I do notice that the paragraph about the 6.8 people per day is talking about the people who've been discovered reaching the UK by dinghies since November. The reference to 2015 with the average of 82 a day is talking about the UK border force stopping attempts. So presumably that includes all points of entry, not just coming across the channel in dinghies. So, you know, you've got to look at the wording. That tells me nothing, that, because it doesn't tell me how many people were coming across the UK in dinghies in 2015.
Yeah.
Which is what they're talking about with the 6.8 people a day. You can massage facts and statistics to make people feel anything.
And if you manage to just be very selective with your data, you can mislead people that easily, even if that's not what they're necessarily intending to do.
No, I mean, I'm not saying there is a crisis. You know, it sounds like I'm arguing against their point that there isn't a crisis.
There is a crisis, but the way to... There is a crisis still in Syria.
Yeah.
And the surrounding parts.
Yeah.
But not here.
But you don't address a crisis in Syria by putting warships in the English Channel.
Yeah. Because that makes no fucking sense. But I'm not saying to just, like, completely open the borders, although, to be honest, it's just ridiculous the level of
the borders are open
over exaggeration currently,
so,
but only if you have the right papers still.
Yeah, but we should be sure,
because we're still not in the Schengen area. And that's the thing, like, we had, like, one of the best deals with the EU, and we're giving that up. Like, we got to keep our own currency.
We'll never get that back.
We got out of the Schengen area.
We've got basically just over 2 months to keep hold of that.
Yeah, it's a mutually beneficial.
Once it's given up, that's it. Next time, if we want to get back in Europe, we'll have to give up the pound for a start.
But this is linked to Brexit, simply as it's been used as a sort of dog whistle thing to fire people up so that they'll vote for Brexit.
It's propaganda.
Yeah. Basically, people have just used this to fuel the tension.
Yeah.
And
preparing for the possibility there may be another vote coming.
Massive over-exaggeration of what's happening.
Which people will fall for, because that's why they buy papers. That's but why papers like, can be sensationalistic, because it sells.
I was seeing on the Microsoft news thing that there was... Most of them seemed to be seriously referring to it as a crisis. But here, look at this. It seems that most of the more reasonable ones are still saying, well, this is ridiculous, and calling it out for what it is. But that's... People are still reading the other ones, and people will just believe what they want to believe.
So okay. So what else have we got in perspectives?
The other thing was about Trump pulling out of Syria.
Yeah, that was a while ago he was doing that, wasn't it? A couple of weeks ago, was it?
Yeah. Basically, he's handed it to Assad, because without help, I can't remember what it's specifically called. The rebel forces don't have a chance, really.
Which would seem to be what Putin would be.
Yeah. It just seems like he's playing into Putin's hands now. And it's very suspicious along the lines of the Russian collusion.
Made me think of Metallica's album Master of Puppets. It's basically have a picture of Putin on the front.
Probably loads of political art about that already.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
He's the only one that doesn't seem to be having his strings pulled by anyone else. Putin.
Yeah, but it's just, you would at least make an effort of making that connection. Like, you'd at least try to distance yourself a little bit. He doesn't seem to understand that this is ridiculously transparent, but apparently it's still not transparent to a lot of people.
Hmm. Pushing and pushing.
Yeah. Anyway, right. I think that's all we have time for. We've probably ran over a little bit on this episode, but there's been more news because this is the first episode.
Yeah. So we'll follow up in a couple of weeks. And what's the last thing?
Just an outro. So I've been Firebolt.
I've been the Orbiter.
And this has been the first episode of the Bollocks Report. I hope you enjoyed it. It's a little bit different and weird, and I hope you enjoyed the jingles that he's hopefully put together.
And it might not be like this in future. It might be completely different. It might be the same.
A disorganized mess.
Who knows? We're just going to do what we feel like and
have fun.
Yeah. Bye.
I hope you have. Bye. Thanks for listening. We would really appreciate if you support us on various things, obviously subscribing on YouTube, Twitch, following us on Twitter or Facebook. We have a Discord server that you can join and talk to us and other people, and a website where you can check out blog posts.
And obviously this isn't free for us to run, so if you'd like to support us financially, we have a Patreon page where you can donate monthly and get subscriber rewards. We also have a Stream Elements tipping page where you can make one-off donations. The links are all in the description.
Farewell.
See you next time.